Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I am Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. We're so glad to have you with us today. We're going to continue talking about this powerful encounter, as you're seeing right behind me right now, Azusa Now, that took place on April the 9th. It's so exciting. It's the 110th anniversary of Azusa Street Revival. And why that's so important is more people were touched and brought into the kingdom of God, saved by the Lord because of this move of God. You can actually tie back the DNA of so many moves of God, so many streams of what God is doing through what took place at Azusa Street in 1906. So it's 110th anniversary. It's so powerful. But when we, right there in the middle of Azusa Now, God was healing people. Wheelchairs were being, people were coming out of wheelchairs. People were being healed in a powerful way. But three soldiers who've been injured by an improvised explosive device, it's called an IED, things they bury in the ground, and the Humvees went over them or just kind of went off. And they were injured and wounded by these IEDs. But guess what? At Azusa Now, the Lord healed them. And this is Bill Johnson of Bethel Redding interviewing them on the stage at Azusa Now in the Los Angeles Coliseum. Let's go there now.
What did he do for you?
When I was 19 in 2006, I was in Afghanistan as an infantry soldier. And there was a suicide bomber that was 7 feet away from me, blew himself up. I spent a year in rehabilitation, recovering, and Lord has done a lot already, but I had maybe 20% hearing loss in my left ear, but the worst thing was that the Lord healed me of, not only that, like I can hear better in my left ear, but I have such bad crackling that I have to go to the very back of the church when I worship because it's like a broken speaker. Like I have to muffle my ear to worship, and now I'm here, and I would never be here, so I'm completely healed.
Thank you. I'm
a soldier. I'm still in the Army. Well, in 2009, there was a suicide vest that went off, and I hurt my right ear. I had 40% hearing loss for the last 7 years, and today, when they asked to raise the hand, I raised my hand and I did it in faith, and the brothers, they prayed for me back there, and I just want to tell you thank you Jesus, because I just felt a boom and a pop, and it kept getting better, and now I can hear 100% from my right ear.
Come on, bless the Lord.
In 2011, lost hearing due to an IED in Sangin, Afghanistan, serving in the Marine Corps. Hoorah, if you're out there. dealing with that for 5 years, not being able to hear, lost a few friends because they thought I was deaf. As soon as I heard the call, I raised my hand, and I thought somebody was snapping in my ear. Opened my eyes, no one was snapping, so I popped my ear with my pinky. Now I hear way better. I can hear.
We'll be right back.
The world's waiting for a hope. They're waiting for another conversation that only you and your assignment can provide. Daniel was just faithful to his assignment, and he kept getting called before the kings. They remembered him from generation to generation and said, wait, there's one man who can solve this problem. And I believe that God's releasing people into their assignment, and in their assignment, there's going to be people who hear the whisper of their name, and you're going to find yourself called into places. Maybe you're just a barista, and all of a sudden, the head of the whole coffee company comes in and goes, I need to talk to you. I've heard some things that you've done here. And you're like, am I in trouble? No, it's actually the opposite. We're in trouble. We need you right now. I'm hearing these scenarios all over the world right now where Christians are being placed to solve problems and to cure confusion. And it's not just in one genre or area. The beautiful thing about the kingdom is it works in all aspects of life. It's not just like the easy parts of life. It's the hard parts of life. That's when Christianity shines. That's when we're a light, is the hard parts of life. There's two options, and all of a sudden we bring another option. There's no answers. Everything's exhausted, and all of a sudden we show up, and it's like, because we showed up, like when Jesus showed up, another option's presented, and people are like, how is God this good?
The Battle of Gettysburg in July 1863 was an attack by Confederate troops on the North on their own soil. General Lee's plan was to win, thereby discouraging the Union in continuing. His plan failed, and it became the turning point in the Civil War.
4 months later, Lincoln delivered his Gettysburg Address. It took only 2 minutes to deliver, but it's considered one of the most stirring speeches in American history.
And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
The Gettysburg Address has biblical themes throughout, from such books as John 3 and Psalm 90.
Lincoln later said, "In regard to this great book, I can only say it is the best gift which God has ever given man."
Experience the book that shapes history by visiting motb.tv. Take part in viewing this historic short film campaign by interacting with the film.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm right in the middle of people just worshiping God and praying and asking God to move and asking them for a third great awakening and a revival. It's just like, you know, Acts chapter 2, when everybody's gathered together from all these different nations and different languages. Well, there's many wise men that were there. One of those wise men is the founder of youth with a mission. His name is Loren Cunningham, and he's seen many moves of God over the year. And one thing he's noticed about moves of God that lasts, because we have to participate with God. We have to participate with Him. He draws us near Him, but we have to actually go near Him in the context of that. And when we respond to God, God responds to us. When we respond to heaven, heaven responds to us. And what He tells us, something so specifically that He learned, was it cannot be just a move of the Spirit. We also have to be in love with God's Word, the Scriptures. Those two have to come together, the Word of God. And this is so important, because right now, as we speak, according to George Barna, 81% of Christian Americans and Christians that are in America don't even pick up their Bibles at all, much less read them. And out of the ones that are reading them, only 3% are reading in such a way as we're talking about even here right now. But you know, this Bible poverty can be stricken. Let's listen right now to Loren Cunningham as he gives us wisdom. We can learn from those that have gone before us. God tells us to imitate those that have gone before us. And we can move even in a double portion or greater outpouring of what God is doing. This is Azusa Now. This is took place on April the 9th. And Loren Cunningham, Youth with a Mission, is talking about we've got to bring a move of the Spirit with, we got to receive the move of the Spirit, but we have to respond by our love for the Word of God, Scriptures. Take a look.
It was just a couple of years ago that I was with Loren Cunningham, and I was in Tacoma, Washington. And God had been speaking about another wave of young people coming out of America. And Loren was coming to see me, and the word that we heard was 200,000 missionaries out of America, long-term missionaries to the mission field. And when we got that word, I said to myself, this is so crazy. What are we going to do? Loren is coming over. Are we going to tell him this? And he came in with Darlene, and they sat down. I said, Lord, I don't know if this is possible, but I'm feeling this word. And it's 200,000 from America to the mission field. And Loren stood up in his chair, and he said, I've already seen 100,000 with Keith Green. It's time to double that number and see 200,000. And there is no greater missionary on the earth, in my view, than Loren Cunningham, someone who has paved the way for all of us to go to so many nations of the world, someone who has absolutely lived the message his entire life, who's laid down everything for young people to go to the nations of the world. And Loren has something absolutely explosive, and he flew in to detonate us with what he's about to say. Are you ready to welcome Loren Cunningham from Youth with a Mission in this house?
It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. But here's what the word says, Habakkuk 2:14, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, that's not saying the glory of the Lord will cover it. That's other parts of the scripture. It says the knowledge of it. In other words, people are going to know the glory of the Lord. They're going to know about it. And that's our job. We need to realize that God has included us in reaching this goal so that the world will be saturated with the Word of God about Jesus, because Jesus is the Word within the Word. One of the fruit of the wonderful move of God at Azusa Street, his name was Smith Wigglesworth. He made this statement just before he died. And he's buried there in Bradford in England. I was ministering there recently. And he said this, whenever the Word comes together with the Spirit, we will have the greatest spiritual awakening the world has ever known. God loves America, but he also loves the other nations. And today, we stand at the brink of something that could happen. When Jonathan Edwards began to lead out, and it turned into a spiritual awakening across America, they not only had the gospel, but they had the Word of God. The Bible was in every public school, in every classroom, was read every day. They prayed every day in every public school in America. And it was virtually in all the homes of the citizens of America. And out of that, when the Spirit and the Word came, there was a great spiritual awakening. Secondly, when Azusa Street took place, again, at that time, the Bible was being read in all public schools, and also there was prayer in every school. That was at that time, and that's why the Spirit and the Word coming together. Now, when I say Word, young people, Jesus scrolled too. I'm talking digital as well as hard copy, and I scroll a little bit myself. But as you understand the two coming together, that's where the power is released. It's like the wood on the altar at Mount Carmel. Whenever the fire came, there was wood there. And the Bible and the power of the Holy Spirit has to come. Not just to America, but it's going to. And it's going to come to every nation on earth. But how can we end Bible poverty? It's this book, the book that transforms nations. I wrote a book with that title too. And I'm not talking about my book. I was talking about the Bible. As I saw it in the nations of the earth, where they had the Bible in their foundations, they had great spiritual results. Now we look at the poverty of the Bible of the world. Now I've found three things. As I've been going to leaders, I've been to two popes, I've been to heads of denominations and so on. And as I've gone to them, they all unite around Jesus, around prayer, and around the Bible. The Bible going to every person. And so we want those three things, seeing that the move of God will not just happen on the church, that's revival, but that we will see not only the revival, but the great spiritual awakening that will come upon all sinners, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Can you believe for that? All right, we must pray for the ending of BiblePoverty.com. Go there, sign up. I'm trying to get 1 million people to sign up. So when you sign up and get 100 more to sign up, and it just simply says, I will pray regularly for the end of Bible poverty, because without the Word, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. but with the word it will last. Now, here's the challenge to your faith. 425 weeks from now, I'd like to give Jesus, I think you will too, a present for his birthday. That's Christmas 2020. How can we see the Bible go to every person on earth by just 2020? And as we look at the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 6, I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven. Now, they didn't know 2,000 years ago about satellites. Having an eternal gospel and preach to those who live on earth and to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every person. Wow. Is that possible? I've been meeting in the last 4 weeks with the heads of, 36 of the heads of the Wycliffe translators. I've been meeting with Faith Comes By Hearing leaders, and I've been meeting with high-tech people, and our people have been in Silicon Valley and so on. Did you know that by 2020, this will challenge your faith, if we can get the Bible into the last 1,778 languages orally, and we can translate it, and then we'll give it to the professionals to get it in written form by 2033. But just orally, we can do it with 1,778 teams of 3 to 5. We've been testing this out. We know we can do it. And we need to give a little training, yes, a couple of years, and we can get it out by 2020, literally a Bible in every language on earth. Think about what that means. Now, there is a satellite up there, another angel, mid-heavens. And we have access to that. As Christians, I've been meeting with top people, and we have access. And that word will come through to every telephone on earth without a server, without an AT&T or telephone company. It's coming, and it's coming right by 2020. We're going to get the word of God out. Now, I want to show you the wave that's going to come now. It's on video, and I live by the ocean. I love waves. And it's broken, they told me. But anyway, on that wave that is growing, it is going to be the wave that those that are 30 and below, you're going to get to ride the wave, the biggest spiritual wave that has ever taken place in all of history. And the rest of us are going to pull you up with jet skis to the top. And when you are riding the wave, I'll tell you what's going to happen. There's the foam that comes over the top of you after a while. Keep riding it, because there's people that haven't heard yet. And we're going to keep riding it till every person on earth has the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And who else is the glory of the Lord? Say his name, Jesus. Say his name, Jesus. Say his name, Jesus.
Jesus, is that not awesome? It's so exciting. The Lord's been showing us this wave. We've been seeing it. Even early on, the Lord began to show us in 2008 this wave would be coming. You need to prepare yourself like a surfer would prepare themselves and begin to get on their spiritual surfboard and begin to just paddle as fast as you can, because this glory of the Lord, this wave of God's glory is coming upon the land, and it is so exciting. If you're 30 and below, listen, God is calling you in. But listen, if you're above 30, God is calling you in. He's calling all of us in. You know what they did right after hearing Lauren Cunningham, the founder of Youth for a Mission, telling us this reality of the spiritual move along with the Word of God, mixing those two together for a powerful move of God? They made covenant. They took their shoes off. You know, the Hebrew covenant, with somebody makes covenant with somebody, a contract, if you would, they always take off their shoe and give them their shoe and hold up their shoe. And so this is what they did. They made covenant. As a matter of fact, let's go right back to the stadium. When they heard this challenge about carrying revival, this wave, surfing the wave, carrying the Word of God to all the nations and the people, watch them make covenant now with Nick. Listen.
There comes a time in every person's life where they begin to be divinely interrupted. We have been divinely interrupted today. As I was listening to Gloria, listening to Lauren Cunningham, I felt that we needed to respond. I remember I was a freshman in college, and I was in my dorm room. I was getting my degree. I had my dorm mates picked out for the next year. I had everything going, and I got divinely interrupted by Jesus. Listen to me, listen to me. Jesus wants to divinely interrupt you right now. And he said, Nick, you are responsible for your generation. The prayers that you are praying, the things that you are declaring to see your generation saved, you are responsible for it. It's not good enough just to pray. You have to be the answer to your own prayer. And this, whatever time it is, right now, we need to make a covenant before heaven. We need to have a reaction. This is what we're going to do. I want you to take your shoes off. I know it's wet. I don't care. And we're going to stick it in the air. If you will fully adopt what Gloria was talking about, if you will fully adopt what Lauren Cunningham is talking about, if you say, yes, I will go. Yes, I will mobilize. If you can't go, then you're responsible to mobilize those who can go. You're responsible to pay for those to go. I want you to lift your shoes up. Lift it up real high over this place. Lift it up high all over this place. Look to heaven, say, Jesus, here I am. Here I am, here I am. I want to go. I will be your messenger. I will be your missionary.
This is awesome. He's saying, listen, make a covenant. I challenge you right now to say, you know what, take your shoe off and say, listen, I want to make a covenant with God. I mean, that's what we're doing at VFN TV. That's what we're all doing. We're moving in the context of our Lord is hearing the cries of his people's heart, and a move of God is coming up on the face of the earth.
We'll be right back.
Can a public school exclude Christian groups from using their facilities? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, I would like to know if facilities form at a public school can state that religious activities or religious organizations are prohibited from using facilities.
Absolutely not. We've litigated that case now 3 times at the Supreme Court of the United States. The first time we won it in an 8-1 decision. The second time the case was unanimous. Even the third time, which was an elementary school level case, we won 6-3 overwhelmingly. So the answer is no. There cannot be a religious exclusion from access to a generally available public facility. If they allow community groups to utilize these facilities, they cannot deny a Christian group from utilizing those facilities because their message is one that has religious connotation, religious thought, or religious belief.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're going to go right to what is it like? What was it like, the storytelling of a Holocaust survivor, because somebody came in trying to destroy Christians and Jews. It was Hitler and his army. Let's prevent that in America. Let's take a look.
I had nightmares, of course, for I would say for a couple of months, you know, waking up thinking that I'm still in the camps. And I was so happy that I was in a real bed. In order to have a little bit of pleasure, let's say, which is there's not too much of it in the camps, I made friends with 2 Polish kids. We didn't get too much sleep, and we used to just get out real early in the morning, because in the barracks it was just crying and screaming and praying, and it wasn't unusual that a prisoner who was laying next to you to go to sleep, when you woke up, they were dead. In any of these camps, everything is so the same day in and day out that when anything unique happens that is not on the schedule, you always immediately try to talk about it. Is this good news or bad news? One morning we came out, and the first thing we saw was that there are no guards in their guard towers. So we are sneaking between the barracks towards the gate, and lo and behold, nobody's there. So we get enough courage to go to the gate, And we noticed there's a heavy chain with a padlock on it. And it's a very, very foggy morning, and we are just dumbfounded. All of a sudden, there's a break in the fog, like a mirage. And all you see is two horses with a horseman. As he's coming closer, one of the Polish kids says to me, "Look at his hat." And it was a Red Star, a Russian soldier. He comes to the gate, and he says, "I'm advance guard. Nobody can leave the camp because there are all sorts of diseases. You're full of lice, and you haven't been washing for months." But he says, as he takes out his gun, shoots off the padlock, "Doctors will be coming, medication will be coming, food will be coming very shortly." So the three of us, as fast as our skinny legs can carry us, we go to every barrack in the vicinity, open up the door in every language that we know, just yell in, "We are free, we are free." And you'll never forget that moment, the sounds from the barracks. Those who are able to walk out to the sunlight, walk out. Those who can't walk are crawling out. I have to pass through a little area where there are little bungalows. And this is where the SS families were staying. And they must have left in a big hurry because I go into one of the bungalows and I open up the closet, the clothing in there. Open up the pantry, food. And then I go into the bathroom and I turn on the water, hot water, fluffy towels, shampoo, soap I haven't seen for a year. I make a little victory dance on my... prison uniform. Get in there and take my first hot shower in a year. It's wonderful.
So you're looking at the reality. It really happened. There's Holocaust deniers like it never happened. It happened. It happened. You know what we know about history? It repeats itself. You know what we could do? We could do what God said. He says, "If my people humble themselves and pray, then he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal us. He'll forgive us." And that's what we need to do. We need to do that. Let's just pray right now. Let's just ask God to intervene, even save these soldiers of ISIS, like he did Kamal Saleem and other ones. Yusuf, that you just heard talk, he was a son of Hamas, but he found Jesus Christ. And maybe you can too today. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Listen, he died for you so you don't have to die for him. There is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood, no matter what people tell you. That's the truth. And God so loved you so much that he gave his son that he could be in a relationship with you. And it's his death, his shedding of his blood, that actually makes it possible for us to be in relationship with him.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.